So it is not bad that we don't have responsibility, and he encourages us to do that, but as I tried to preach this morning, he says, just put me first. Everything else will be better. And I believe that. The promises that he has made to us throughout his word is simply those things that will benefit us. There's those unconditional promises. You've heard me say these many a time. And the Lord grants that I stay here a while, you'll hear them again. So the unconditional promises just simply this: he shall save his people from their sins. That is the work of Christ. And the Bible says in John, it says that this is the work of God, that you believe on the Son Jesus Christ. It doesn't say it just like that. That's his work. But then he encourages us to put him first. He encourages us to, if you'll go back and look at 2 Chronicles 7:14, that is a conditional promise that he makes to us as his people, as my people. And that's us. We live here tonight. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Man, I got all that in, but I think it is. But when you look at that, that is conditional promise, and this is what America needs tonight. America needs reviving. God's people in America need to be revived. And as I thought about that, you know, reviving is simply this: for God's people, God's elect candidates, those have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to be revived from time to time. In fact, the psalmist David said in Psalm 35 that when he said, "Will thou not revive us again? Will thou not revive us again, O Lord?" In fact, the reason is really this: "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us our salvation, thy deliverance from those things of forgetfulness." And so if we look at this and think about it, but that 2 Chronicles 7:14, I've got it now. It says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray," and I left this out while I go, "seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." Now, if we look at that and think about that, who is he speaking to? He's not talking to those who are not here. He's not talking to the dead, alien sinner. He's not talking to the heathen, but he's talking to us. And I think what he's saying in a sense as he has answered, and this is from the prayer that Solomon made in dedicating that temple at Jerusalem, that magnificent building that was built to honor God and where God said, "I will meet with my people." And it was dedicated. And as Solomon had that prayer dedication, he said, "Lord, if people pray towards this building or pray in this building and pray towards this building, then," he said, "will you hear when the land is dirt and in drought conditions and they ask for rain, will you hear it?" And that's when God answered. And this 2 Chronicles 7:14, that is God's answer to Solomon's prayer and request in the prayer dedication. And I believe it still does today. And so if you look at that and think about it, Psalms 85, "Will thou not revive us again?" That tells me that I need to be revived from time to time. Yes, I think we can get stable. I think we can get away from a really joyful relationship. We get caught up in the things of this world, and sometimes we forget the priority that it should be ours as God's people. As I looked in the word revive, it means to nourish up, and listen to this, keep alive, to recover, to repair, to restore, to be whole. And then I looked up the word revival, and it says, "And God at work, restoring his people and church to spiritual health." And I would that this is, would be our aim and our ambition, even not just the pre-night meetings, but for the years and months that are ahead. But it's simply this: we as God's people returning to our first love, if we truly love, if we all at the time that the Lord showed us that we were here, he knew that we had been brought from death unto life, and that we were aware of the fact that his work of redemption had been made manifest and regenerated in our lives. I've told you this, I think, one time before. I can remember years ago had a young man. He was speaking on Sunday. We'd have a Sunday of asking God's blessings upon the farmers, especially, and upon the efforts of God's people within the church. And then at Thanksgiving week, we'd come back and ask various Sunday ones to come and to make a statement of how God had blessed them and how God had answered their prayers. And I don't think I'll ever forget this young man saying this. I would that I could return to the day that I saw the fact that Jesus loved me and I was his. And that newness of knowing that I was born again. He didn't say it just like this, but what he's saying, that thrill and that newness and that experience of coming to the knowledge that I've been born again, I was dead in sin and trespasses, I'm the Lord, and he bought me, and I'm redeemed. And he said, I wish it could be like that from time to time. And of course, you know, I think if we really thought about it, can you remember the newness of the time that you first come to the knowledge that God revealed to you that you were his? And there was a thrill there. There was that enthusiasm. There was that sense of excitement. There was that sense to love him more and serve him better. There was a sense to get into this book and study it and read it. And you might even got up earlier and spent time in it. Spent more time praying. You know, what would happen if that happened again to us? I'd say we'd have a revival. We'd have a reviving. And I would that that would happen. As I thought about all of this morning in our call to worship, I read to you Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, which was, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you know what he says? Be not conformed, but be ye transformed. I'm going to say I believe tonight that revival is being transformed and not conformity. If we're not careful, we can become to the point that we're conformed to the world. We're conformed to a standard that has got people. You think, well, we're doing all right. We come in and we're doing and we're praying and but are you enthused about it? And I say this, I would that as God's people we get enthused that we couldn't hardly wait to get to God's house for worship. We couldn't hardly wait to get to the book and read it. And the Bible says that in the Old Testament and the New Testament that God's people marveled at the things of Christ in the New Testament. They marvel at the things of God in the Old Testament. It says that they were astonished at the doctrine of Jesus Christ. But it says they were amazed. It really says that they were marveled, they were amazed, and they were astonished. Are we still to the point of that that it still amazes us and it still has an astonishment to us as we hear the word preached, we read the word, we hear the testimony of one of the brothers and sisters that we share with one another? Brothers and sisters, I believe that we've come to the point that the Lord would revive us and we would have a revival amongst our people. I think our joy would be greater than it's ever been, except from the time that we came to the knowledge that we were his. So as I thought about those things, what are things that will cause us to be revived? And I think the first thing we've got to do before we'll desire revival as an individual, me, myself, and you as an individual, that we've got to become to the point that we're convicted that we need revival. I think if we're satisfied with where we are, we're satisfied with our spiritual life, we're satisfied with our prayer life, we're satisfied with our study life, we're satisfied with our life of service, and all of the things that makes up our life as far as service to God. And we're satisfied with that, regardless of what it is. We're not convicted. Then they're not going to be, if we're satisfied where we are and have no desire for better. So I say we need to be convicted. That God's people, we need to have a conviction. And I think about this. I think about God's people on the day of Pentecost. And it says that Peter preached the word. He preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. He accused those people of what they did, that they killed the Son of God, which was a part of God's ordained plan that we were salvation of his people. But it says that they were pricked in their hearts. And if I understand right, that prick in the heart was a pricking of conviction. They were convicted of their status. They were convicted of their lack of things. And you know, this morning, I believe in the Bible says, Brother Warren, Brother James said, if you know do good and do it not, then him is sin. I think what he was really saying on that is simply this. If they think we know to do and we're not doing that the Lord would have us to do, then it can't be sin. We're not in this book like we ought to. We know that we ought to be, and I think what he's saying, it's sin. So I think, first of all, that we must have a sense of conviction that we need something else to be close to the Lord. What do you need tonight? What do I need? I need to ask myself this question. What do I need to do as a pastor of this church that I might be closer to the Lord, that I might show more love to him and more devotion to him, and I might spend more time with him? I'm convicted from that standpoint. I need to spend more time praying, I think. And so as I look at that thing, but you know what we do? And the Bible says we're not wise. So often we compare ourselves amongst ourselves. And we say, well, you know, compared to Brother Adam, I'm doing pretty good at it. But you know, the Bible says, compare ourselves amongst ourselves are not wise. What is our standard comparison? It's Jesus Christ. And so I'd say to us tonight, if we want revival, we need to have a sense of conviction that we're not where we ought to be as far as our relationship and in our service. And so I'm hoping tonight, if your life needs it, if my life needs it, which I know it does, I pray that the Lord might convict us. He might put a sense of conviction upon our heart and our mind that we would say, Lord, what must I do? What must I do? I look at Isaiah and I think about him. He said, in the year the king Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw himself for what he was. See, Isaiah had put his trust in Uzziah, which was a good king. He was a great king. But in the year Uzziah died, then Isaiah, that had been his trust for his salvation, his deliverance. I mean, I thought his salvation, it is salvation. But he saw Isaiah, saw Uzziah as one that he could depend on for those things that he needed. But Uzziah was dead. He said, I'm dead, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And so he was convicted of the fact that he needed the Lord and God in a mighty way. And if you recall, he talks about it, he said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. And then he came and the Lord said, who shall I send? Who will go for me? And Isaiah said, hey, here am I, send me. Are we willing to do that tonight? Then I think if we look at conviction, then the second thing as far as really revival and as individuals is confession. And I confess to you tonight, I need to be closer to the Lord. I need to sing his promises more. I need to spend more time with him. I need that. And I think I could say along with Isaiah, woe is me, when I look at myself compared to what Christ, because I see what he did for me. But then when we see that we've had that sense of conviction, we've seen that sense of confession, brothers and sisters, I think we're ready to minister. I think we're ready to be a prime candidate for revival. You might say that we are ready to be transformed from being conformed to the world and to the old standard of being satisfied by comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. But I think that we are ready then not to be conformed, but we are ready to be, revived or transformed. And Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 1 says, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. And that's God's people. That's church. Put on thy beautiful garment, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth shall thou be no more come, shall there no more come and be this uncircumcised and unclean. And so what is he saying? away, 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 that Lord, conversion. Lord, cause me to be transformed. Lord, cause me to have a desire to be closer to you. Cause us to cry out, Lord, what must I do to be pleasing unto thee? And then when we do that, I think there's that connection. These are the seeds of revival, I think. Confession, well, first conviction, confession, conversion, and now connection. Connection with the truth and the truth. Paul told Tim, he said, judges show thyself approved unto God, a workman that he would not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So look at that and think about that. There's that connection with the truth of God. And what has he promised us? He's promised us, think of this. He said, draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. And I believe in revival, we'll have a desire to be closer to him. And as we draw nigh unto him, I am convinced that the word of God is true, that we'll feel a greater bond, that we'll feel a greater connection, we'll feel a greater acquaintance, and that our fellowship, even one another, will be in Christ Jesus. And I believe we, if we do that, and that connection to the truth is where we claim the promises, we know the promises, and we walk in the promises. In John chapter 14 and verse 13, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I think it'll make us want to do that. I think it'll make us want to be closer to him. And then we go from this last thing, which is commitment, what I preached this morning. Give her our best. Present our bodies. Serve the Lord with gladness. Draw nigh to him with our very being. Seek him. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and our lives will be better. And I'm thankful tonight, and I believe this, and I know this might be a sort of a flash sermon, but if we have something that we need to be convicted of that we're not doing because the Lord, we need to pray, Lord, show me what I need to do. We need to be convicted. We need to make a confession. We need to be converted. And then we need to be connected to the truth of God's word. What is he promised us? What can we say? And then our life, make a commitment to be as much like Christ as we can. The first thing in chapter 2 and verse 30, I saw this years ago, and it rang bells on my head. This word, God told it, Samuel, concerning Eli. The first thing in chapter 2 and verse 30, Eli was a prophet of God. He had led his sons run rampant in the temple. He had not corrected them, and they had not shown honor to God. Eli had not reprimanded his children as should have as a father. And God made this statement, I won't read it, and this has had an impact on my life. It says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said unto thee that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. Now this is speaking to Eli, one of the prophets, tribe of Levi. He says, but now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And do you know what that's saying to us tonight? For them that honor me, I will honor. And that is just into this. For those that give preference unto me with their life, I will give preference unto them. So he says, but they that despise me, and that word despise, here's a lightly esteemed or not greatly esteemed, just somewhat, as I've understood it, it's not a despising that you have a hatred for, but it's something that you just don't feel like is quite important to put in first. He says, David, I will not esteem thee. For me, this is one of the great promises of God's word. For them that honor me, I will honor. And Jesus says, they that honor me, my Father will honor them. And so we find here that between God the Father and Jesus the Son, there's honor. There's preference that should be given to it. And as I've studied that, I find it very often. That is a great, great promise. For them that honor me, I will honor. and they that despise me will shout revival this day. And then I think we should say tonight, if we speak revival, renewal, with our walk with the Lord, we might be like Joshua, Joshua 24:15, where Joshua made a great statement. He said, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Do you know who he was addressing? He was addressing the children of Israel, God's chosen people in that day and time. But it says, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be God which your father served, or on the other side of the flood, or the gods of Amorites, or whose land you dwell, but as far as me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. It sounds to me like Joshua had a sense of revival and renewal. What will we say? Will you pray that the Lord will revive you? Will he give you the desire? Will you ask the Lord to show you what you need to do to be closer to him and serve him better? Will you pray for a conviction if you need a conviction? And then let everything else fall in place and we will truly be blessed. If we do those things, I believe revival will come in individual lives, it will come in our church, and God's people. When we surrender ourselves, when we present our bodies as living sacrifice, when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, when we honor him, and when we walk with him, and we serve him, then we will be a blessed people. And I pray that the Lord calls us not only these three night meetings, but in days ahead, that each one of us will desire to be closer and closer and closer and pray for renewal and revival in our lives. And you know what that do for us? It'll make us, as we love him more, we'll love one another more. We'll love our family more. And the Lord will bless us. And we have that sweet peace that passes understanding. May God bless us tonight that these things might come through you, and God's people will enjoy the fellowship of one another, but most of all we'll enjoy the fellowship of God, and that we might truly walk hand in hand with the Master in the days ahead, that we find joy. There should be one more here tonight that have a desire for a statement or come and be a part of the family of God here. I think we use the opportunity for him cheerfully to sing hymn number
421.
Number 421. If there's one more that have a desire tonight, we give you that opportunity.